Welcome in. I love a walk-off Wednesday on Ben and Woods. Makes me very, very happy. Should we get one? Let's get one.
Yeah!
It's been a while. Man, love a walk-off. Always love a walk-off. Feels so good. Great to be here with you guys this morning. We are Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Wednesday. I haven't said that in a while. Let's try to get our heads right now. Our little guy over here struggling a little bit. Probably not feeling at his best.
Not doing too well.
We've sent the bat signal up to Adam Klug, our boss. But I guess at 6 in the morning, still asleep?
Like, we have one of those jobs where it's early.
It's early.
And neither of you can really run the board.
It's not that we really... You said neither of you can really run the board?
We would not be on the air if you were not here.
Ben and I would be sitting here just going... How you doing?
So when I get out of bed at 4:30, 4:45, or whatever, and I'm like, "Holy crap! I do not feel like I don't know what
chills,
to do."
Right? You're really up against it at that point. Now I know that, and that's Paul Reindel, by the way, our executive producer, Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. When the best thing to do in our gig is to let everybody know the night before, but if you're feeling like, all right, I think I can do this. If you happen to wake up and go, I can't go, like, right. you guys will be fine. I'll be fine without you, Ben. We need Paulie. Paulie is we have to have him.
It's a dilemma because you don't want to upset the apple cart and say, I don't know that I'm going to be able to make it tomorrow, so we need to get someone up. We need to get Adam or Italian Paul, and they have to wake up at 4 a.m. and get here, and then Paul wakes up in the morning and goes, actually, you know what? I'm feeling fine. I can come in. I overreacted. False alarm
right.
Last night.
But then, I took some NyQuil last night.
Yeah.
Like, I got
slept like a baby.
8 hours of sleep, and it was just when I woke up, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, there's crud going around, man. There's a bunch of crud going around. You guys were in Vegas. There's crud in Vegas. There's crud at this radio station. There's crud everywhere. And I want you to go home as soon as you can get back up to come in and jump on the board, Paulie. No harm, no foul on our end, and stay home tomorrow if you have to. Of course, you'll miss the 97.3 The Fan roundtable, but you can listen to it from home.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine.
I do want to say that both Woods and I have run boards in the past.
Yes.
It's just like when I ran the board, it was using carts, which are like 8-track tapes, and an analog system that has no like similarity to what we do now with computer screens and codes and everything that Paul does.
So I ran that exact board almost, but I didn't have all the bells and whistles. I had a couple of fart noises that I would play over songs that I didn't like, and I had that was it. And I had a system, and it picked the music and played the music. And the only power I had is I could go in and drop songs to make the time, you know, work out, and I would always get in trouble for dropping songs that I didn't like, but that I was supposed to play. Woodsy, that was not a drop option. Oh, I just figured, boss, we'd already played it 6 times since I've been in, and I thought, what's it going to hurt to drop Gautier for the 3rd time this hour that we're going to play it? I thought, I was just, you're right, it wasn't a drop. I must have misread the log.
Were you over-talking, and that's why they needed to drop songs?
No, it just sometimes it times out that way. And like, maybe a little bit of over-talking, but I always tried to talk over the ramp so that I didn't, you know. But I didn't have a lot to say. I mean, I'm giving away iPads, it's coming up, and here's Walk the Moon again. And that's all I did. So I had like 2 buttons, 3 buttons that I messed with, and that's it. I did not have the intros for this, the outros for that, the sponsors for this, and like, you know, taking care of us. So Paulie is obviously very integral to the program. Adam does a decent job, and Italian Paul does a decent job, but it ain't Paulie. So, but when you get the word, Paulie, feel free. You are free to go home, get in bed, rest up, do what you got to do.
I bet I know where I got sick, and it's probably the story that you're about to tell. Now that I think about it.
There's no way.
It's possible.
All right. We need some Pink Panther music. Like,
either way, so why? I wasn't feeling if I was, you know, 75%, probably shouldn't have been dumpster diving after the show.
The story is, why was Paulie climbing into our Odyssey dumpster yesterday?
We had a mystery on our hands yesterday that panicked us more than you can ever imagine. Now, if you remember last week, we had gotten a shipment of rally towels in from the San Diego Padres. We're going to put some of those in our golf tournament gift bags. Last day to buy tickets for the Benin Woods Open is going to be on Friday. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you go to our
5 p.m.
5 p.m. Go to our socials. Get your foursome or twosome or onesome. So we had these rally towels. They were delivered to the station. Adam Klug, our boss, took it upon himself to open said boxes and start throwing them around like it was Christmas morning. And there are rally towels all over this office. So Braden, who is the producer for Annie and Elston, took two bags of them for his golf tournament. We're trying to locate those, get those back. Everyone's just helped themselves to our stuff. And so yesterday,
God forbid we have things shipped to the work. The office.
Correct. The only thing here that no one has opened of ours is the hate mail that I get from Dodger fans. They leave that to me to open with pictures of, you saw it. I mean, it's disgusting. Doo-doo in the toilet. I mean, it's just the worst. So yesterday the show ends. We go into the production studio and Paulie busts in. He's like, oh my God, I'm going to kill somebody. I go, what happened? He goes, I get a text from Adam that says, hey. Well, it's Adam. Hey, did you get that box?
Does text sound like that, too?
His text sound like that. When you open your phone, you read them, and hey, did you get that box?
Hey, Siri, read my text.
Hey, did you get the box I left for you guys outside the studio? And Paulie's like, no, there's no box there. Well, there was a box from Callaway. And I just go, what?
No, he didn't. We didn't know who it was from.
Oh, it was the shape of a Callaway box with clubs in it for our golf tournament.
But I wasn't fully expecting anything. I mean, I knew at some point we were going to get something from the golf tournament, but I didn't know. I didn't have tracking. Like, right. I didn't know it was coming in today.
They didn't give you a heads up.
So I'm like, oh, so this was on Tuesday. No, what's today? Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
So on Monday is when it arrived, Monday afternoon, after we had left. So he sent me a picture of the box right outside of the studio.
Right.
And then when I got in yesterday, I go,
there's no box.
No box.
I didn't
Adam
see
must
it.
Have moved it over to his desk. No,
wasn't there. So we're sitting here going, so these are prizes for our golf tournament, and they're nowhere to be found. And we look around. We are all casing the building. Ben's in one corner. I'm in the other corner. And I go,
looking for a large, rectangular, long
box. Which, by the way, I saw the picture of the box. Someone had opened it. It had been opened.
Yeah.
It was open. And I'm like, bro, stop opening our mail. Adam and Michael at the driving range with it. You know, I'm sitting there going, what is happening? So we couldn't find it. So I just go, I go, I don't know what to do. Let me go ask JR. So I asked JR, the engineer. I go, he goes, hey, I'll tell you right now, man. He goes, we have security cameras in the lobby. He said, but it wasn't the janitorial guys. It wasn't the janitors. They don't take boxes. He goes, I have boxes. We break them down. We write trash on them. We lean them against the wall. They don't take them. So it's not them. They're not going to take a box.
And I'm like, well, then who the F
who is
took
it?
Our stuff?
Somebody grabbed our stuff. So we're a wreck. Because what we didn't want to do is have to call back to our friends at Callaway, who have already done so much for us, and go, hey, can you give us more prizes? Somebody stole ours, or we lost them. Like, the thought, I go,
just like we didn't want to have to call the Padres for more rally towels.
Exactly. So I'm just sitting here going, all right, we got to get this golf tournament over with. This thing feels cursed right now. So Paulie goes down with one of the engineers, starts poking around down in the dumpster. And if that SOB didn't find that club down in there, and we got it, and we got it back, we retrieved it, and holy cow, man, like, yeah. Paulie holding it up like he just captured the flag on foreign soil. So, yeah, man, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, we were so panicked by that.
But like, he caught the plague, apparently, in the dumpster.
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. That can happen if you're diving around in refuse. You know, God only knows what else he was handling when he was down in there. But holy cow, dude. We got it. It's back. We really need a safe place for our stuff when it comes in here. So thank you, Paulie, for dumpster diving yesterday and retrieving that. And, yes, the golf tournament a week from today, my friends. Woo, mama, we have a lot of work to do. And Gina says, who throws golf clubs away? I don't want to blame anybody, but, like, if I was going to steal something, I would throw it away and then go back and get it later. That's just what I would do if I was a thief. Right? Oh, I didn't know. And then I would throw it in there, see, give it 12 hours, 24 hours, and then go back in there and grab it. Might have done that with beer at a store that I worked at when I was 19.
Really?
Yes, I was a dirtbag. So, yeah, I might have done that before.
Threw so if it. Anyone saw you, they looked like you were just throwing away trash.
Exactly right.
And then you come back to the trash
yeah.
to claim your prize
correct.
Later.
At like 9 o'clock at night with my buddies. Yeah, it's a good move. But I'm also a jerk for it. I get it. I think about these things laying
you're
in
also consuming
night.
Something that's been sitting in the garbage.
Yeah, but it was beer, and I wasn't old enough to buy beer. So there you go. But yeah, so we got it back, man. Holy cow. Prolific the Great says, I don't play golf or else I would go. You don't have to, man. Come out and, like, we have a hole where I just want people to come hang out and heckle people. They just, I just heckle. And hang out. You don't have to play golf at all. Just come and hang out. There's a beautiful area. We'd love to see as many tier ones out there as possible at Goat Hill Park.
Anyone can enter our raffle.
Yeah, for, you can do the
great
raffle.
Prizes if,
yeah.
you, if you show up as well.
Yeah, bring your ass out there and heckle and do whatever you want to do. So come on out. It's for everybody. You don't have to golf. We're not even golfing this year. We're going to be hanging out and shaking hands, kissing babies. Ben's going to be working the glory hole, and I'll be working the heckle hole, and it's just going to be a fun time for all. I'm really thinking about bringing a chair and posting up at the heckle hole for a while and just wearing people out. I got my bullhorn. I got my siren. We can bring all kinds of stuff. So, well, it's good to be here with you guys. Great to be discussing a Padres win, a walk-off, certainly. But, yeah, we solved the caper. And, Paulie, let me know when you get the go-ahead to split.
Adam has responded.
What'd he say?
He's going to head in as soon as he can.
My man, like Klug. He's very dependable.
All right, Bald Reindel will be replacing Paul Reindel at some point this morning.
Yes.
And we are off and running. Want to get into last night's game. Obviously, we'll set the menu. And hear all the highlights in just a couple of minutes of a walk-off, if you missed it, if you didn't stay up, a walk-off 4-3 win for the Padres.
I will
pretty dramatic game.
I was out. The NyQuil hit me hard.
I made it all the way up for this one, guys.
I woke up around 11, head to the bathroom, checked my phone, and went, hell yeah, boys.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. It was great.
Don't
great
go win. Anywhere. Ben and Woods getting started here on a Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports station. Let's check Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Big day for you, Woods.
Big day. Man.
I also have some breaking baseball trade news. What would you like to do first?
Big you know
day
what?
For the Woods family or breaking baseball trade news?
I don't want to be selfish, so let's do the breaking big baseball news first.
All right. Jeff Passan just tweeting that the Los...
The real Jeff Passan?
Or maybe the guy who hacked Buster Olney yesterday, and he's getting more clever with his tweets. But Jeff Passan tweeting the Los Angeles Dodgers are acquiring super utility man Kevin Biggio in a trade from the Toronto Blue Jays. Sources tell ESPN, Biggio, 29, was designated for assignment by the Blue Jays last week. He's hitting 200, 323, 291 slash line this year, 227, 343, 382 for his career.
I feel like they have a team.
So basically the Blue Jays were cutting him, and the Dodgers have picked him up.
Picked him up, and they're going to have to send something back now. I do feel
not
like...
Not much,
right?
Likely.
I feel like they have a team of super utility guys. I really do. They do. I mean,
well, they got Kike back, but he hasn't been great this year.
Chris Taylor's
turned himself from a super utility guy into a super bad utility guy.
Or just they just call
offensively.
Him, they just call him a utility guy now. He's no longer a super utility guy. Kevin Biggio is also not a super utility guy. He's just a utility guy. So they picked up a guy from the Blue Jays and think that they can you know find a slot for him and another. Another little arm in the Swiss Army knife for Dave Roberts, right? Just another guy that can maybe help bridge the gap. And but yeah,
he's not the missing piece. I don't think for that team.
I don't think so either.
And not that they're missing anything right now. They're still seven and a half games ahead.
I'd say that's pretty good.
The Padres, the second place Padres in the NL West. So,
but they're here. They go about to start wheeling and dealing here in mid June. So Kevin Biggio will be a Dodger. Feels like a great fit for him. And one of the guys, Ben, you know, all the fathers and sons that are in the big leagues right now, the ex players' kids. Hasn't really lived up to a lot of the early hype. A lot of them have, but he's not one of them. But he's now a Los Angeles Dodger. I expect him to hit 350 the rest of the way. Probably 14 to 16 homers.
MVP votes.
Yeah, 14 to 16 homers for the next half of the season and really start to dominate somehow.
One who is living up to the hype is the son of former St. Louis Cardinal Fernando Tatis.
Correct.
He is currently riding a 17-game hitting streak now. We will get into our Padres wrap-up in just a couple of minutes, give you all the highlights of yesterday's walk-off win. As you said at the start of the show, you love a good walk-off.
Oh, I love a walk-off,
you
man.
Love it better than a 6-1 stress-free win? I mean, in the end, sure.
Yes. Yes.
In the end, the walk-off is baseball is theater. It's a movie. Because in a walk-off win, obviously you've got some struggles to overcome. There are some ups and downs because you didn't dominate the whole game. Otherwise,
Correct.
You wouldn't be in the position where you needed to walk off a game, whether you were tied or trailing in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
So there were some obstacles to overcome. Nothing went perfectly over the course of the game. There were highs, there were lows. It's a movie script. It's baseball as theater, which is why, you know, movies like Major League end with a walk-off hit of some sort, because that's the most dramatic way to play a baseball game.
Yeah, you wouldn't do a movie where in the last game they win 12-1. We just dominated. It just would be like putting the flame out on a candle. You're like, all right, well, that was...
Even in Moneyball, the climactic scene,
of course, they
pick something in the middle of the season, the 20-game win streak, because guess what? The 20th game ended with a walk-off after they had gotten up, 13-11-0 or something,
blown the lead,
and then had to get the walk-off by Chris Pratt to win the game. It's just the best way to enjoy a baseball game. It's unpredictable. You never know when you're going to get one.
God, it feels good.
And you had a very thrilling, exciting, and unlikely hero at the end of the game.
Very happy for him, dude. Very happy for Kyle Higashioka, a favorite. I mean, he loves metal, so I love him. He used to walk up to The Trooper by Iron Maiden. He's walked up to a Tool song. He walks up to a Rat song now. I mean, he's a perfect player for me. And I love the dude. I talked to him on Friday night. The nicest guy. The nicest human being. Not overly emotional, just pretty deadpan. And to have a moment like that was pretty solid. Watching all the big dogs, man, shower him with water and jump all over him. Manny and Tatis, all those guys were so stoked for him. Just a really good piece. And, you know, threw a guy out last night, too. Nice game for Kyle. In a series of what have been nice games for Kyle Higashioka lately. Exactly what you ask for from your backup catcher. Coming through in a moment like that. So really cool, man. It's awesome when Fernando does it. It's awesome when Manny does it. It's awesome when those guys do it, but those guys make a lot of money. They're kind of expected to do it. Kyle Higashioka is not the guy you expect to walk one off, and I'm very happy for him that he did.
So, stupid question. Has Fernando hit a walk-off?
Ooh.
I don't remember.
I don't have one that's coming immediately to mind.
I know Manny's hit him.
Yeah, Manny's hit him. It's Fernando. A walk-off homer or a knock?
I mean,
Homer's different, but a homer.
Yeah. I don't think he has.
Come on, he has to have. Somebody will know.
I mean, the Padres only had two last season,
but like
neither of them were Tatis. He didn't
people
play
are saying,
the
no,
year.
He hasn't.
He didn't play the year before, so it would have had to have come in his first couple of years, and I don't remember one. So people are saying, no, he has not. Well, he's due for one.
Maybe today.
All right, so we'll get to the highlights of the game yesterday, discuss it all. Also, the injury updates for your San Diego Padres. We have some more trade rumors. Ken Rosenthal with some news this morning.
More rumors.
Discussing your San Diego Padres.
Boy.
Not an actual trade, but nothing that new. Just kind of an update on the rumors that have already been floating around involving the San Diego Padres. Play Take on Woods at 7:10. Chance to qualify for the trip to the Fontainebleau, Las Vegas. Don't do this at 7:20. It is a Big League Wednesday with Adam Jones, maybe. Always a maybe.
Always a maybe.
At 7:35. He usually comes through for us. And then Brett Boone will be with us at 8:35 this morning. Host of the Brett Boone podcast here on Odyssey and always one of our favorite guests when we get a chance to talk to him. So it is a Brett Boone Wednesday as well. We were going to have a Rindle report. Paulie may have to hand that information off to Adam when he gets here, if Paulie is leaving. So,
I got some good stuff for him.
We will we'll play that by ear going into our last hour, and then getting you ready for day baseball today. Guess what? Padres going for the three game.
Stop.
If we just don't, just if we don't say it,
they're just going for another game,
just a win,
and
win
another
today.
Win
today.
Someone
go
tell them.
Today.
Someone tell them if they win today, they'll get back to 500.
Yes, even though they'll
be
better.
That's not true.
Hey, you win this
just
game.
Tell them.
Hey, y'all win this game.
You'll
get back 500.
You'll get back to 500
okay?
today.
Get you a little money for it.
Don't tell them otherwise. That's what they need to know. They're perpetually a game under 500 and just need to get back to 500 every single day.
Suck them back in. Just another day.
Don't say anything else.
Don't tweet it. Don't mention it. Don't put it in the chat. Nothing. Just keep your mouth shut. I'm asking you. All right, everyone.
Don't bring any, cleaning supplies to Petco Park to
nothing.
Remind
just
anybody of what's
up.
On the line.
For once in your lives, just shut your mouth.
Don't want to see any dustpans or anything of the sort.
Nothing.
Just a normal day game at the old ball yard
that's right.
this afternoon.
Just go out and win a ball game and see what happens.
All right, we'll get to our calls last night. We also have an update for you on the Incorporator.
Yes, we do.
But not the actual Incorporator. Little story to go with that one as well. All coming up next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So before we get to Jesse's highlights in our Padres wrap-up, I want to update everybody on yesterday's Incorporator, which the word, again, of the Incorporator was Sockdolager, which is a something that is hit hard or a person who hits hard, essentially, a Sockdolager. But the added challenge that I gave to Jesse, and now I feel a little bit bad about it, is to see if he could get that, because it's a fairly easy word to talk about in baseball if you used it. I mean, you know, a hard hit ball, you get all kinds of hard hit things in the game of baseball. So there should be plenty of opportunities. So I gave him the added challenge. I wanted to hear it in an actual game highlight, something that we would put in our Padres wrap-up in the morning, as opposed to just kind of randomly, you know, in the fourth inning when he's having a conversation with Tony Gwynn Jr., which is always great, but just thought I'd add the challenge. And Jesse got back to Paul last night and said, I may want to hold until the next day. Didn't get it in on one of the early home runs, and I'm thinking I want to have another opportunity to do so. And then he did not put it into the walk-off home run, which I don't blame him at all. That's a huge moment for the season, not just the game.
Yeah.
So he didn't put it in, but he wants to get a second go at the opportunity today.
So no problem.
So he said, fine, take your time. There's no rules, really, that come with the Incorporator. So Jesse said, listen today for Sockdolager in the day game homestand finale against the Oakland A's.
Jesse can do whatever he wants. That's what it boils down to. Jesse,
that is true.
He's got carte blanche. If he's not comfortable, you just wait. No problem. Jesse has been doing appearances on this show since forever. And I consider him like he's a part of the Ben and Woods, you know. He is skin and bones with this show. So he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He can do it any way he wants. And I look forward to it today. It's a great word.
And I'm looking forward to hearing all of the highlights from last night's win. We will get to those right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
The left-handed batter's box to lead off against Randy Vasquez. We are underway as the first pitch is hit in the air. High and deep to right center. Merrill back to watch. It's going to go. Lead-off home run on the very first pitch as the A's take a 1-0 lead. Rise one out of two with a single in his last at bat. Pitch here is swung on, grounded sharply towards first. Over to the line. Soderstrom's got it. Late flip to the pitcher, covering, not in time. Kim on his way home. The throw is high. And the game is tied. Sears was late, going to cover first base, and it cost him. 1-1 here in the bottom of the fifth.
Completely had a brain fart there.
First pitch coming. Jurickson swings. It's a ground ball. Diving attempt by Geloff. Goes off his glove into right. Arise has scored. Tatis is right behind him. A two-run single for Profar. And the Padres lead for the first time tonight. It's 3-1. Now trying to play from behind. 1-2. Hit in the air. Center field. Straight away and deep. Merrill's back at the wall. He looks. It's going to go into the Padre bullpen. Soderstrom hits his second home run in as many nights. This one a two-run shot to tie it. 3-3 in the eighth. Abraham Toro knocked in the first run of the game on the first pitch of the game. Swings here, pops one into shallow right center. Cronenworth back, Fernando in. Cronenworth over the shoulder, makes a running catch, and we're going to hang a star. A 1-2-3, top of the ninth for Robert Suarez. 2-2 from Alexander on the way, hit in the air, deep down the left field line, towards the corner, gonna go! Higashioka has homered in each of his last three starts. This one a walk-off. And the Padres survive it 4-3 against the A's. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow afternoon.
Big moment, Petco. You know, it was fun. You guys fought their tails off. You know, really played a good, clean baseball game. Good baseball game all the way around. But always good to leave the faithful Friar walking home and leaving Petco happy.
Quite the bookends for that game, with the very first pitch getting hit for a home run by Abraham Toro, and the very last pitch of the game, a walk-off home run by Kyle Higashioka. And I was wondering if it is how rare that is. I don't know in terms of baseball overall, but Jeff Prout with the Padres did confirm last night on my tweet. It's the first time it's ever happened at Petco Park, where the first and last pitches of the game were both hit over the fence as the Padres win 4-3.
I love it.
Yesterday.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you don't have a good feeling about the game when your pitcher's very first pitch. It's usually taken more often than not.
Yeah.
Well, a strike, a ball, whatever. Let's let this game unfold for a moment. And all of a sudden, you're behind 1-0. Just right away, you go, okay.
I love the ambush, man. I really do. I love the first pitch fastball ambush. I mean, I don't know that I've ever hit leadoff in my entire life, but you would have to tie my hands behind my back to get me to not try to ambush every first pitch I saw. If I was a leadoff hitter, maybe the best pitch you're going to see, Ben, he wants to get ahead. You're 90% going to get a heater there, and if you can ambush it and do something, I absolutely love it. Now, I hate it that it happened to Randy Vasquez last night, but you want to talk about gutting one out last night. Holy smokes. Again, one of those performances that it's not sustainable. Like, you can't, it's like Major's first start. Yeah, results-based business. You got through it. You did your job. You made pitches when you need to, but whew. It was dicey all night.
It turned out to be the only run that Randy Vasquez allowed in his five innings. He did scatter six other hits, seven hits total. And so did J.P. Sears. Yep. Padres had a bunch of hits and base runners, and they hit into double plays in the first two innings. This was just a very interesting game. It wasn't just a dramatic walk-off win. There was a lot of things going on in this game yesterday. In the bottom of the first, Fernando Tatis Jr. extended his hitting streak to 17 games with a nice single. The other way, it's the longest Padres hitting streak since Adrian Gonzalez in 2006. It's halfway to the Padres franchise record of 34 set by Benito Santiago.
Yeah, I saw that graphic pop up the other night. Benito Santiago with 34.
Not Tony Gwynn.
34 straight games for Benito.
As a rookie.
It's fantastic, man.
Padres, as I said, you know, didn't take advantage of early opportunities, but then they were gifted, basically, their three-run rally in the bottom of the fifth inning when there was two outs, Ha-Sung Kim on second base, and Luis Arraez hit one hard down the line. But it should have been an out had J.P. Sears reacted instantly and went to cover first base. Arraez, not a particularly fast runner, but he got caught as Tony Gwynn Jr. said, a little brain fart, just didn't make that first move over to cover. And by the time he did, it was too late by a split second. And Arise not only scored, but Ha-Sung Kim rounded all the way from second. And
great base running. Credit where credit is
due.
Yeah,
we've been criticizing the base running. That was a good piece of base running by Ha-Sung Kim. Tatis followed with a double, and then you heard the Profar two-run single. Later in that inning, of course, Manny Machado roped a double to the gap, and they tried to score Jurickson Profar from first. He was thrown out at the plate, and you can there was some debate as to whether that was a good or bad send by Tim Leeper. I think that in a vacuum, I thought that was a pretty good send. Two outs.
Same.
I thought he was probably going to score. Where that ball was into the gap and how far away the runners, the outfielders were from the ball, I thought, I think most guys score from first on that. Jurickson's not, you know, super fast, and we found out later Jurickson is dealing with a knee injury, and when he came up later in the game, he took a swing, the knee buckled, and he got removed right from the game. Certainly a, gulp in your throat moment for the Padres and Padres fans. He's been such a important part of this team, maybe the most important part of the Padres offense all season long, and you hope that Jurickson's going to be okay. After the game, Mike Schilt said that he is day-to-day. Jurickson said he's been dealing with left patellar tendonitis for a while. Didn't say exactly how long. I'm sure that running from first to home didn't necessarily help in that situation. And they were right quick with the hook when he took that swing on an 0-1 count in the eighth inning. Padres did have a chance to go ahead in the eighth inning, but were unable to come through. They pinch ran for Manny at second base with Tyler Wade, some interesting strategy decisions. And then the bullpen decisions were also something that was being debated last night, Woods, when the Padres went to Eniel De Los Santos in the top of the eighth, who gave up the tying two-run home run to Soderstrom. But people were wondering, well, why didn't you use Jeremiah Estrada to set up Robert Suarez in that situation? Found out after the game, Jeremiah Estrada wasn't even there. He was sick. Maybe he has what Paulie has. He was a little green under the gills.
Yep.
And they decided, let's just keep him at home, not have him interact with anybody,
yeah,
give him the night
smart.
Off, and hopefully get him back. So, yeah, Jeremiah Estrada wasn't available. So, in that sense, they went to their next best right-handed setup guy, which was De Los Santos, who had been throwing well, hadn't given up a run this month, six straight shutout innings. But the home run ball has been an issue for him, and he left one out over the plate for Soderstrom, and that tied the game at three. So just before, everything before the ninth inning was a pretty interesting, dramatic lead-up to the end of that game last night.
Yeah, you know, and I saw the discourse certainly on Twitter as I follow along. I didn't tweet any out because I think in those situations, I think you'd have to be nuts to be a manager and try something weird like that when your guy was healthy and ready to go, right? And I saw a lot of people speculating maybe he's saving Estrada to close the game today. Mike Schilt has kind of shown so far this season, winning series is check, likes to mention that in the post game and all that. But man, at that moment, I thought about it for 1 second. Why wouldn't you go to Estrada? And then I thought to myself, maybe this is one of those instances where we don't know the whole story. And of course, if you play it through, you doubt very much he's going to do in the pregame scrum. Estrada's down tonight. He's not here. He's ill. You just keep things vague and you make the best move you can to try to win a ball game. And that's exactly what they did last night. And I thought it for a second, but then I thought to myself, well, you'd have to be a lunatic to not throw him out there right now after only throwing to one guy last night. And now you're going to use Suarez back-to-back nights. So today, I don't know what it means. I don't know if Estrada's feeling better. I don't know if he's going to be available, but
Suarez go for a third straight day? He threw an inning and a third, but he only threw eight pitches
man.
To get those four out. So there's a possibility, I would think, that he could go again today.
He's thrown 23 total pitches in the last 2 days, Benny. I mean, you look at the chart for the bullpen.
It's a day off tomorrow.
A lot of guys in the red over the last, three games. Brito's thrown 45 pitches. Matsui, 41. De Los Santos, 41. Kolek, 28. Morejon, 24. Suarez, 23. Estrada's only thrown four.
So before we get to Jesse's highlights in our Padres wrap-up, I want to update everybody on yesterday's Incorporator, which the word, again, of the Incorporator was Sockdolager, which is a something that is hit hard or a person who hits hard, essentially, a Sockdolager. But the added challenge that I gave to Jesse, and now I feel a little bit bad about it, is to see if he could get that, because it's a fairly easy word to talk about in baseball if you used it. I mean, you know, a hard hit ball, you get all kinds of hard hit things in the game of baseball. So there should be plenty of opportunities. So I gave him the added challenge. I wanted to hear it in an actual game highlight, something that we would put in our Padres wrap up in the morning, as opposed to just kind of randomly, you know, in the fourth inning when he's having a conversation with Tony Gwynn Jr., which is always great, but just thought I'd add the challenge. And Jesse got back to Paul last night and said, I may want to hold until the next day. Didn't get it in on one of the early home runs, and I'm thinking I want to have another opportunity to do so. And then he did not put it into the walk-off home run, which I don't blame him at all. That's a huge moment for the season, not just the game.
Yeah.
So he didn't put it in, but he wants to get a second go at the opportunity today.
So no problem.
So we said, fine, take your time. There's no rules, really, that come with the incorporator. So Jesse said, listen today for Sock Dolliger in the day game homestand finale against the Oakland A's.
Jesse can do whatever he wants. That's what it boils down to. Jesse,
that is true.
He's got carte blanche. If he's not comfortable, you just wait. No problem. Jesse has been doing appearances on this show since forever. And I consider him like he's a part of the Ben and Woods, you know. He is skin and bones with this show. So he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He can do it any way he wants. And I look forward to it today. It's a great word.
And I'm looking forward to hearing all of the highlights from last night's win. We will get to those right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah! It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
The left-handed batter's box to lead off against Randy Vasquez. We are underway as the first pitch is hit in the air. High and deep to right center. Merrill back to watch. It's going to go. Lead-off home run on the very first pitch as the A's take a 1-0 lead. Rise one out of two with a single in his last at-bat. Pitch here is swung on, grounded sharply towards first. Over to the line. Soderstrom's got it. Late flip to the pitcher, covering, not in time. Kim on his way home. The throw is high, and the game is tied. Sears was late, going to cover first base, and it cost him. 1-1 here in the bottom of the fifth.
Completely had a brain fart there.
First pitch coming. Jurickson swings. It's a ground ball. Diving attempt by Geloff. Goes off his glove into right. Arise has scored. Tatis is right behind him. A two-run single for Profar. And the Padres lead for the first time tonight. It's 3-1. Now trying to play from behind. 1-2. Hit in the air. Center field. Straight away and deep. Merrill's back at the wall. He looks. It's going to go into the Padre bullpen. Soderstrom hits his second home run in as many nights. This one a two-run shot to tie it. 3-3 in the eighth. Abraham Toro knocked in the first run of the game on the first pitch of the game. Swings here, pops one into shallow right center. Cronenworth back, Fernando in. Cronenworth over the shoulder, makes a running catch, and we're going to hang a star. A 1-2-3, top of the ninth for Robert Suarez. 2-2 from Alexander on the way, hit in the air, deep down the left field line, towards the corner, going to go! Higashioka has homered in each of his last three starts. This one a walk-off. And the Padres survive it 4-3 against the A's. They'll go for the sweep tomorrow afternoon.
Big moment, Petco. You know, it was fun. You guys fought their tails off. You know, really played a good, clean baseball game. Good baseball game all the way around. But always good to leave the faithful Friar walking home and leaving Petco happy.
Quite the bookends for that game with the very first pitch getting hit for a home run by Abraham Toro. And the very last pitch of the game, a walk-off home run by Kyle Higashioka. And I was wondering if it is how rare that is. I don't know in terms of baseball overall, but Jeff Prout with the Padres did confirm last night on my tweet. It's the first time it's ever happened at Petco Park, where the first and last pitches of the game were both hit over the fence as the Padres win 4-3.
I love it.
Yesterday.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, you don't have a good feeling about the game when your pitcher's very first pitch. It's usually taken more often than not.
Yeah.
Well, a strike, a ball, whatever. Let's let this game unfold for a moment. And all of a sudden, you're behind 1-0. Just right away, you go, okay.
I love the ambush, man. I really do. I love the first pitch fastball ambush. I mean, I don't know that I've ever hit leadoff in my entire life, but you would have to tie my hands behind my back to get me to not try to ambush every first pitch I saw. If I was a leadoff hitter, maybe the best pitch you're going to see, Ben, he wants to get ahead. You're 90% going to get a heater there, and if you can ambush it and do something, I absolutely love it. Now, I hate it that it happened to Randy Vasquez last night, but you want to talk about gutting one out last night. Holy smokes. Again, one of those performances that it's not sustainable. Like, you can't, it's like Major's first start. Yeah, results-based business, you got through it, you did your job, you made pitches when you need to, but whew, it was dicey all night.
It turned out to be the only run that Randy Vasquez allowed in his five innings. He did scatter six other hits, so yeah, seven hits total. Bit. And so did J.P. Sears. Yep. Padres had a bunch of hits and base runners, and they hit into double plays in the first two innings. This was just a very interesting game. It wasn't just a dramatic walk-off win. There was a lot of things going on in this game yesterday. In the bottom of the first, Fernando Tatis Jr. extended his hitting streak to 17 games with a nice single the other way. It's the longest Padres hitting streak since Adrian Gonzalez in 2006. It's halfway to the Padres franchise record of 34 set by Benito Santiago.
Yeah, I saw that graphic pop up the other night. Benito Santiago with 34.
Not Tony Gwynn.
34 straight games for Benito.
As a rookie.
It's fantastic, man.
Padres, as I said, you know, didn't take advantage of early opportunities, but then they were gifted, basically, their three-run rally in the bottom of the fifth inning when there was two outs, Ha-Sung Kim on second base, and Luis Arraez hit one hard down the line. But it should have been an out had J.P. Sears reacted instantly and went to cover first base. Arraez, not a particularly fast runner, but he got caught, as Tony Gwynn Jr. said, a little brain fart, just didn't make that first move over to cover. And by the time he did, it was too late by a split second. And Arraez not only scored, but Ha-Sung Kim rounded all the way from second. And
great base running. Credit where credit is
due.
Yeah,
we've been criticizing the base running. That was a good piece of base running by Ha-Sung Kim. Tatis followed with a double, and then you heard the Profar two-run single. Later in that inning, of course, Manny Machado roped a double to the gap, and they tried to score Jurickson Profar from first. He was thrown out at the plate, and you can there was some debate as to whether that was a good or bad send by Tim Leaper. I think that in a vacuum, I thought that was a pretty good send. Two outs.
Same.
I thought he was probably going to score. Where that ball was into the gap and how far away the runners, the outfielders were from the ball, I thought, oh, I think most guys score from first on that. Jurickson's not, you know, super fast, and we found out later Jurickson is dealing with a knee injury, and when he came up later in the game, he took a swing, the knee buckled, and he got removed right from the game. Certainly a, you know, gulp-in-your-throat moment for the Padres and Padres fans. He's been such a important part of this team, maybe the most important part of the Padres offense all season long, and you hope that Jurickson's going to be okay. After the game, Mike Schilt said that he is day-to-day. Jurickson said he's been dealing with left patellar tendonitis for a while. Didn't say exactly how long. I'm sure that running from first to home didn't necessarily help in that situation. And they were right quick with the hook when he took that swing on an 0-1 count in the eighth inning. Padres did have a chance to go ahead in the eighth inning, but were unable to come through. You know, they pinch ran for Manny at second base with Tyler Wade, some interesting strategy decisions. And then the bullpen decisions were also something that was being debated last night, Woods, when the Padres went to Eniel De Los Santos in the top of the eighth, who gave up the tying two-run home run to Soderstrom. But people were wondering, well, why didn't you use Jeremiah Estrada to set up Robert Suarez in that situation? Found out after the game, Jeremiah Estrada wasn't even there. He was sick. Maybe he has what Paulie has. He was a little green under the gills.
Yep.
And they decided, let's just keep him at home, not have him interact with anybody, yeah, give him the night smart. Off, and hopefully get him back. So, yeah, Jeremiah Estrada wasn't available. So, in that sense, they went to their next best right-handed setup guy, which was De Los Santos, who had been throwing well, hadn't given up a run this month, six straight shutout innings. But the home run ball has been an issue for him, and he left one out over the plate for Soderstrom, and that tied the game at three. So, just everything before the ninth inning was a pretty interesting, dramatic lead up to the end of that game last night.
Yeah, you know, and I saw the discourse certainly on Twitter as I follow along. I didn't tweet any out because I think in those situations, I think you'd have to be nuts to be a manager and try something weird like that when your guy was healthy and ready to go, right? And I saw a lot of people speculating maybe he's saving Estrada to close the game today. Mike Schilt has kind of shown so far this season, winning series is check, likes to mention that in the post game and all that. But man, at that moment, I thought about it for 1 second. Why wouldn't you go to Estrada? And then I thought to myself, maybe this is one of those instances where we don't know the whole story. And of course, if you play it through, you doubt very much he's going to do in the pregame scrum. Estrada's down tonight. He's not here. He's ill. You just keep things vague, and you make the best move you can to try to win a ball game, and that's exactly what they did last night. And, I thought it for a second, but then I thought to myself, well, you'd have to be a lunatic to not throw him out there right now after only throwing to one guy last night, and now you're going to use Suarez back-to-back nights. So today, I don't know what it means. I don't know if Estrada's feeling better. I don't know if he's going to be available, but
Suarez go for a third straight day? He threw an inning and a third, but he only threw eight pitches
man.
To get those four out. So there's a possibility, I would think, that he could go again today.
He's thrown 23 total pitches in the last 2 days, Benny. I mean, you look at the chart for the bullpen.
It's a day off tomorrow.
A lot of guys in the red over the last, three games. Brito's thrown 45 pitches. Matsui, 41. De Los Santos, 41. Kolek, 28. Morejon, 24. Suarez, 23. Estrada's only thrown four, but he's ill. You got Wandy, essentially, down there. And listen, I understand the frustration with the home run from Eniel De Los Santos. But again, kind of last night. If Mike Schilt managed the team based on all of the people that everyone on Twitter thinks shouldn't be used in high leverage situations, he'd have no one. He'd have no one. Okay, do you want Johnny Brito in a high leverage situation?
No.
No. Yuki Matsui?
No.
Eniel De Los Santos?
Not really.
Kolek?
No.
Morejon?
Maybe.
Maybe?
But they'd already used him.
Suarez? Yes.
Yes.
Estrada?
Sure.
Yes, but sick. And Wandy Peralta? No.
Not really.
What is he supposed to do?
Got to use guys.
You got to use guys. And what do those guys have to do?
Now it does.
They have to execute. They have to do their jobs.
It does. It make me want to revisit the conversation from yesterday about using Suarez in a non-save situation, a five-run game. I'm not going to go back and rip that. We both said yesterday, at some point you need to use guys.
You
can't just leave them on the bench for 2 weeks because there's no save situation. We've also both acknowledged as well.
It'll probably bite them.
And I'm sure when Mike Schilt woke up and heard Jeremiah Estrada was sick and he had just used Robert Suarez in a non-save situation, he's going, why do the baseball gods hate me? Because we could have held Suarez.
Yep.
That would have been the right decision, knowing that Estrada was going to be sick the next day, but you don't have a crystal ball. I think in the circumstances, it was right to get Suarez some work, and hopefully it doesn't come back to bite the Padres today in the final game of the series.
Yeah, and I don't know what that shapes up for Schilt today. I don't know how that looks. I mean, you obviously want to get some length out of Michael King today, and if you don't, yeah, it can backfire on you. But, look, when called upon, the guys that are called upon need to execute. Eniel, I was in such cruise control mode last night watching Eniel pitch. I thought he was doing fine. And then again, you leave one pitch up, it gets hammered, and you're like, oh, all right, now we are in deep. And luckily they pulled it out. They picked their skipper up a little bit last night, I thought.
And as for Kyle Higashioka, which you talked about how you like Higgy. We enjoy talking to spring training.
It's great, dude.
Had to be one of the most low-key walk-off home run celebrations. He didn't smile, gets the Gatorade shower, barely flinches when it happens. He goes, "Yeah, I'm a catcher. I take ice baths every day."
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And he but I love that he said, "Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of getting used to being pinch hit for in that position. Nice to get one and help the team win." I love somebody said in the chat earlier, "Job's not finished." I love that. I love that from him. I'm a big, big Higgy fan, as you know, and I think he's done a really good job pressed into a Ruben Niebla has never coached a knuckleballer, and Kyle Higashioka had never caught a knuckleballer. And for him to come to a new team, a new city, and they go, "Oh, here's your assignment, and you're going to get three ABs a week," I don't think you can say enough good things about what he did. Like I said, threw a guy out last night. That's been a rarity for the catchers on this team. He's been great. He's been great. He doesn't make a ton of money. He's just there to help the team win, and he's the least of any problems that this team has.
Padres did end up getting a win against a left-handed starter yesterday, even though they didn't tear him to pieces. They have won their first homestand of more than three games this season. They are 4-2 against the Diamondbacks and A's with one game remaining today. They will face another lefty this afternoon at 1:10. Lefty Hogan Harris will make his just third start of the year when he goes up against Michael King. We'll have the Eco Water SoCal pregame show for you at 12:10 this afternoon. When we come back, though, you mentioned the bullpen issues, the guys that you just not feel great about counting on. That kind of involves one of the rumors, trade rumors that I was reading about this morning. We'll talk about that. And
a breaking shout out to his family.
Hall of Fame legend has passed. We'll get that news to you next here on 97.3 The Fan.